Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. Amen. Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And this is Susan Puzio, and we also want to let you know that we have a YouTube channel. And it's under my name, Susan Puzio. And we also have a website, propheticnews.com. Even though we haven't updated the website in a while, there's still hundreds of articles on there that I collected over the years from many different ministries. Oh, articles that I've collected probably for 10 or 15 years. And you can learn so much. We learn from each other, don't we? From our experiences of our Christian walk and what we've learned from what's truth, what's error. So many of us have come out of Word of Faith teachings and prosperity teachings and seed faith teachings and those type of things. And so we realize that there's more to the gospel than all of that, right? And we probably all have believed wrong things in the past about the Word of God. And most of the time, really, it's our own fault because we don't take the time to study, to show ourselves approved, and to read God's word for ourselves, because we find out so many things about God and about his word when we take the time to study and to meditate on God's word, because it is our guidebook for life after all. And God, who is rich in mercy, he's merciful to us, isn't he? he doesn't have to be, really. You know, he doesn't have to be merciful to us, but he is. And he loves us with an unfailing love. So we thank God today for his word and for the fact that we can use his word to bless other people. We use it in our own lives. And, you know, when you go through a crisis, sometimes, isn't it funny how things will play over and over in your mind, and you keep thinking about the thing and you're meditating on the thing? And when really we have to try to meditate on the word of God and meditate on the answer. And so I'm still learning that, and probably most of you are still learning that, because the Bible says to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. So we try to cast those imaginations down, especially when we're going through a trial. And it looks like the devil is winning, when really the devil doesn't win. The devil is a loser. The devil was a loser. How stupid can the devil be that you once were in heaven and you saw God and the Lord Jesus Christ in all their beauty and majesty, but yet you wanted rebellion. And so the Bible says that rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. And witches and people that serve the devil, they're rebellious. You can't tell them what to do. They're rebellious. They want revenge. They're hateful. And so that's their father, the devil. But people that aren't saved, they don't belong to God. They can talk about God all they want, but unless a person is really born again, they don't know God. They can't know God because their mind hasn't been renewed, and they're not born again of the Spirit of God, because first you're born of your mother and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And that's a decision that all of us have to make. I believe God gives people free will, and that we make the decision whether or not we're going to serve God and spend our life in heaven, or we're going to spend our life in hell after we die, because everybody's going somewhere after we leave here. And that's true. A lot of churches today don't like to talk about hell. Oh, they don't. They even took the word out of many of the modern translations. They won't even mention the word. So it's not seeker friendly. You have to make the church seeker friendly. Well, that's not really being friendly to people if you don't tell them the truth. And the truth is, there's a heaven and there's a hell, and there's rebellion and then there's humility, and there's, we serve God. We realize that there is no good thing in ourselves. There's no good thing in ourselves except what the Lord Jesus Christ gave us. And I always think it's kind of a strange thing when you hear people say, well, you know, God, when he looks at you, he doesn't see any sin in your life, and he sees everything through the blood of Jesus. Well, look, God sees sin. Whether you're a Christian or not, he sees it and he knows it. And he is going to correct us. He is going to rebuke us. He's going to send other people, just like he did to David, King David, when he sent Nathan, and Nathan pointed his finger at David and said, thou art the man. And God will do the same thing for us. So it's kind of this new kind of gospel. They have this new age kind of gospel where they said, God doesn't see your sin. Yeah. Well, the ones that we asked him to forgive, yeah, those he doesn't see. But if we're doing things today in our Christian walk that are not what we're supposed to be doing according to God's word, well, yeah, he sees it. Yeah, he sees it. Yeah. And so we can't get by with doing our own thing, but you see a lot of that today in the churches. You see a lot of people just doing their own thing, and they make up their own gospel, and they get carried away with their own importance, and they forget what it is that we're really trying to do for the short time that we're here on earth, is try to win other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we know that we don't put our trust in human beings anyway, because human beings are always going to let you down one way or another, and we'll be disappointed. But we put our faith and trust in God, just like the book of Isaiah says, cursed is the man who puts his trust in man, when we know that people are going to fail. And I don't understand why anybody would want to backslide because somebody fails. Anyway, we're going to talk about Richard Roberts today and talk about failure. Here's a man that was handed everything, basically. I don't know if he really wanted it, but because it took him a long time. He was a nightclub singer at one point before he kind of, I guess he kind of looks at himself like the prodigal son. And then he went back to his father's house, which was Oral Roberts University, and the many multiple millions of dollars that they were taking in. And so Richard goes back to the father, Oral, and he goes back to the university, and he later became the president of the university, which was a total failure on his part because he ran the place into the ground. I don't know if I haven't done enough research really to know if Oral Roberts University was ever really profitable. At the time when Richard Roberts was demoted and basically kicked out after his father founded the ministry, and Richard when he was the president of the ministry, he was asked to leave. He was basically thrown off the campus. He wasn't allowed to come back. Imagine that. Imagine that your father founded a university and had been there for many, many years. And you take over as president, and then they kick you out. Yeah, they kicked him out. And so basically, I think he was run out of Tulsa too, so he couldn't. He left. They left Tulsa, him and Lindsay, and then I don't know if they immediately moved to Florida, but I know they moved to Florida for a while. And then I heard a few months ago Richard saying that they were now living in Texas for some reason. I don't know why. I know some people go to Texas because they have some kind of rules and regulations there about lawsuits, and I think they're not as strict with people. But my way of thinking, and I think probably we're going to see more of this as time goes on, is that, and there's been a few lawsuits that people have filed against some of the ministries that promise them blessings if they give money. And some people have actually sued some of these ministries because they didn't get anything. Of course, you're not going to get anything because you gave some ministry money. You're going to get a good feeling. Yeah, you might get a good feeling, which you're supposed to get a good feeling when you give, and you give from your heart and you give because you love somebody. Yeah, then you get a good feeling. But as far as a money back guarantee, no, you're not going to get that. But yeah, they promise you that. Yeah, they promise you that. So I think as time goes by, and if times, of course, it seems like things are starting to boom again a little bit, the economy and building and things are starting to boom, but eventually probably things will crash. And as people gamble or they play the ministry Powerball, which seed faith gift would you like to give? $1,000, $10,000, $5,000. As people gamble and they pour more money into these ministries, and then they realize that they're not getting anything back, then there'll be more and more, I think, class action lawsuits where people will actually get together and they will file lawsuits against these ministries for fraud and for extortion, because it is actually a form of extortion to tell people to give you something so they can get something back when there's no basis for it. If these people were doing these things in the business world, you can't make false claims. If there's been people that have gone to prison when they had, there was a guy on television, he used to do an infomercial, Kevin something, I can't remember his name, but he used to do these infomercials, and he was selling a book, and some people were angry because they were saying that it was false claims, and then the FDA stepped in and said the claims were false. So he actually went to prison. And so in the business world and in the corporate world, you can't make claims. You can't claim this product will cure cancer, or this product will cure diabetes, unless it's actually been scientifically proven that it can. But you can't make false claims. But yet in the evangelical world, they seem to get away with it for some reason. And so they can make all the claims they want. And of course, Richard Roberts and his father, Oral basically was the granddaddy of the Seed Faith movement. I'm sure there was probably other people that taught taught it before Oral started teaching it. I imagine there probably was other people that taught it. But it seems like that whole doctrine, it would be interesting really to do in a historical background of how the teaching actually came into place and when it became a prominent teaching. To me, as far as in my lifetime, I would say that it was probably Oral Roberts who brought the teaching into prominence, the seed faith, give to get principle, which made Oral very, very rich and made Richard very, very, very rich. So, in fact, I have a chapter in my book, and I'm going to read some of the quotes, some of the things that I have in the book about the Roberts family. But Jerry Scholes wrote a book way back, I think in 1979, a kind of an expose on Oral Roberts. And you can get that book. I think it's Give Me That Old Time Religion or something. I'll get the title of the book for you. No, Give Me That Primetime Religion. That's the name. Jerry Scholes, Scholes. And it's Give Me That Primetime Religion. And also this guy, Jerry Scholes, he was beat up. Imagine that. He was beat up mysteriously before a scheduled interview after the book was published in 1979. It was reported in a story, and you can find this story on the internet. It was reported in a story by David Arnett of Tulsa World in November 2007, as well as other news sources before that. And here is the quote from the reporter. 20 years later, these words stand true, and I am personally thankful that zealots didn't beat the H-E-L-L out of me like they did Jerry Scholes, who spent time recovering in a local hospital before he disappeared from Tulsa. Those were the days really before the internet. And thank God the Lord gave us the internet, because we've been able to have the freedom to preach the gospel and to preach the real gospel. Because before, it was mainly the prosperity preachers who had the television time, who were able to afford the television time, who were able to afford the radio time, and who the publishers were running after to publish the books. It was very hard to self-publish a book back then. It was very expensive. And so back in that day, especially 1979, it was easy enough to try to silence a guy like Jerry Scholes, because I'm sure when this book came out, the Oral Roberts ministry was not very happy with it. And so I don't know how much publicity he ever got for his book, but back then it was a big deal to write this book about a ministry like Oral Roberts. But of course today, if the book had come out and Jerry Scholes was doing the television circuit and he was going around doing interviews and he was on Larry King and he was on Fox News and whatever, and then he went on some of the big radio news people. He went on some of those shows. I'm sure today they wouldn't be able to try to put Jerry Scholes, whoever put him, out of the picture. I don't know who had him beat up. There's no evidence. So, I mean, you can make accusations all day. So, and innuendos. I don't know who did it. It was never proven, I guess, one way or the other who did it, but it was done. And, but today you wouldn't get away with that because maybe people could have it done. I'm sure that there has been some of the ministries, especially some of the ones that we talk about and other people talk about. And I know that the Trinity Foundation, they've done many, many exposés on ministries. And I'm sure that they were probably harassed by some of these people. There's many ways that they could try to harass you to try to keep you quiet. But the thing is, on the internet, it's like let it all hang out, okay? Anybody can go to YouTube or anybody can go to these people's websites and they can find out for themselves what they're saying. You can watch their videos. You can watch the television programs and you can see for yourself. So what are they? Why are they so afraid of people like myself or people like our sister Jackie Alnor and some of the other people that are out there doing apologetics ministries? Everything's out in the open anyway, because we don't do, I don't do private investigations. That's fine if other people do it. That's fine. And, but I don't do it. The only kind of investigations I do is I take what they say and report on it. So we don't make things up. And somebody the other day, I know they were upset because last week on the program that we did about Stephen Furtick, they said, well, I was talking about people's looks. I don't make fun of people's looks. All of us have things probably about our looks that we don't like. It's not that we're making fun of people's looks. These people that we talked about with the plastic surgeries and those kind of things, like Joyce Meyer, for instance, the person was upset that I said that her mouth looks like the Joker. I'm not the only one who said that. I didn't originally say that either. And if you go and look at her, her mouth before, there was nothing wrong with her mouth. And from all the plastic surgeries now, the mouth goes up and it looks distorted. So that's what we're talking about, is why would somebody want to distort their looks just to have plastic surgery? If you have a good plastic surgery, like Judge Judy, she's got a good plastic surgeon, so she looks good. Her surgeon, yeah, I would recommend her surgeon. Joyce Meyer's surgeon, I wouldn't recommend. And also Paula White. I'm not making fun of Paula White's looks, except that why does she make her face look like it's a waxworks face? And the lip that's so heavily injected with some kind of lip filler that it looks ridiculous. So that's what we're talking about. But I certainly am not going to make fun of people's looks to do that kind of thing, because everybody's got things. Some people are too overweight. Some people are too thin. Some people are too short. Some people are too small, whatever. But, you know, we're not going to do that. We're just mentioning the fact that it could be something with them that they don't, that can look in the mirror and they look attack somebody's book and kind of anyway. So we'll get back to Richard Robert. Now, in this book by Jerry Schultz, says that at one time the Oral Roberts ministry mail room to handle 20,000 letters per day. Now that was probably back in the 70s. It was probably much more than that later on. But he related that 90% of those letters contain a contribution, and the average contribution is $5. Well, that's okay. 20,000 letters a day at $5. That's what, $100,000 a day? Yikes! Wow. The daily income of the Oral Roberts ministry from the mailroom totaled about $90,000 a day, or $450,000 per week. And that came to $23,400,000 per year. Okay, this is back in 1979. Can you imagine how much money they took in? So how did, now tell me, how in the world, by when was it? I don't know if it was 2007 or 2008. I can't remember the exact year that Richard was tossed out of there. He was the president, and then they tossed him out because the main reason he was tossed out was because they say he was mismanaging the money, which, yeah, I guess he was mismanaging it because they were $50 million in debt. $50 million. The king of seed space. Well, Mike Murdoch and Oral Roberts, I would say they're probably tied for the title of king of the seed space gospel. But yeah, there's Oral Roberts. And his son Oral was still alive at the time. And so Oral led his son drive the ministry $50 million in debt. And from 1979 and on, the ministry could have been taking in $23 million a year. I don't know for sure how much they took in, but how do you wind up bankrupt? I don't know. Where is the money going? Did somebody have a gambling habit or so was somebody snorting something? I don't know, but where did the money go? Most of us, we're never going to see that kind of money in our life. Never. $23 million? Yeah. I don't think so. And yet they squandered it. Richard's booted out of the university. He's basically run out of Tulsa. But that's God, okay? That's God. Don't take the gospel and take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and run it into the ground and run scams on people. And then you claim that God told me, and this is God, and it has nothing at all to do with God. It's all about you. It becomes all about you, which it became when, and this is the trap for many people. That's why it's always good to stay small in your own eyes and to keep your ministry small. Keep it small, because then you don't have to worry about compromising to be on TBN and to be seen by the world, all those things. Who cares about being seen? If you can be heard, if God wants you out there on the preaching circuit or whatever, fine. That's fine, too. And whatever the Lord has for you. But you see what happens to these people. Richard Roberts then, after he was run out, during the time he was being run out of ORU, he was arrested for drunk driving. So he had to be pretty drunk when he got into the car. And he was going 100 miles an hour. It was after midnight sometime there in Tulsa. He could have killed himself and he could have killed somebody else. So it was a sad state of affairs, really. But anyway, Oral Roberts had another son named Ronald. And Ronald, at age 37, committed suicide with a single gunshot to the heart. And a daughter, Rebecca, and her husband, Marshall, were killed in a plane crash. And Richard and Lindsay had a baby boy who died at two days after birth. So they have certainly had their share of tragedies in their family. Tragedies, but you wonder what would drive the son of Oral Roberts commit suicide, especially to shoot himself at 37. He must have been a very unhappy young man. It's too bad. It was too bad for his family. And I think he did have children. It was too bad for everybody involved that nobody could reach out to him and help him. But sometimes the children of these famous people have a hard time because they can't get away from the name, and maybe they don't want anything to do with the ministry. But yet they'll be recognized for who they are by their name, and they never really get to be themselves. A lot of I can imagine really that a lot of the children of famous TV preachers go through a real crisis of identity later on in their lives, because everybody wants, really, most people want their own life, and they want to do what they feel like they want to do. And we should all have that freedom and give our children that freedom to be what they want to be, as far as according to scripture, of course. But these children usually are looked to by the parents as the person that will be taking over their empires when they die. And that's usually what happens. So these kids really don't have freedom, or they don't take advantage of the freedom. They don't say, well, I don't want to do that because it's too lucrative. What kid, most of these kids, by the time they're 17 or 18, they have the best cars. They go to work for their parents and they're making big money, when most teenagers are working at McDonald's or Walmart or whatever, making $10 an hour, $8 an hour, not these kids. So it's hard for them, I think, to give up the luxuries that they're used to having when their parents are who they are. But the fact that Seed Faith, the gospel that they promoted so much of, you give so much money and you'll get so much money back, and God has to bless you because he said, given it shall be given. So that's one of their famous things is, yeah, and God has to bless you back. Just give it and believe God to bless you back. Well, that's playing the lottery. That's like gospel bingo. Bingo, you know, you put the number on 10 and you get five numbers and you get it, you win. Well, that doesn't work that way with God, because God's only going to give you what he wants to give you. You know, he's not going to give you too much and it's going to ruin your life, which it basically ruined Richard's life, I can imagine. And his former wife, Patty, who worked, you can go on YouTube, you can see the videos of him and Patty. They used to sing on the Oral Roberts television show. And anyway, she looks a lot like Lindsay, and they got a divorce, and she wrote a book later on, and it's called Ashes to Gold. And I see that the book is available on Amazon. And anyway, they got a divorce, and she wrote kind of an expose on the Roberts family. And she talks in the book about the luxuries of everything that they had, the best airplanes, private jets and mansions and linens. And she goes through the whole thing. And she compares also the Oral Roberts Ministries to the guy named Johann Tetzel, that was a big indulgence seller for the Catholic Church back in the 1500s, when they used to go around collecting money to build St. Peter's, which is a pretty fabulous looking place, really, when you think about it. And they used to go around collecting money from the small villages and towns, and they would promise people that if you put money into the coffer, that you would get time out of purgatory. So it's basically, it's a principle that works as far as getting people to give you some money. And it's worked for a long time. So they realize that it works, and that's why they use it. But anyway, Patty Roberts, and I think her name is Patty Roberts Thompson now, they did get a divorce, and she left everything behind. And she even says in her book, Ashes to Gold, that Oral told her to be careful, that if she ever left the Oral Roberts ministry, she would be in trouble. She might get hurt. Something might happen to her because she would be out of God's will. And of course, none of that happened. None of that happened. She went on to live her life. I guess she kind of stayed out of the limelight, but there's a story hear about her, a newspaper story that was done, and it says that they had a corporate marriage. I read that book years ago, Ashes to Gold. I don't remember that much about it. I remembered it was a good book, though, and I enjoyed reading it. But she says that in the article here that Oral told her that if she left, she might be in a plane crash or something terrible that could happen to her. Let me get the quote here so I can quote it to you, because I'm looking at the article now. She says that Oral Roberts was capable of manipulating the couple. She cited as an example a conversation involving the three as the two newlyweds prepared to catch a plane for their honeymoon. Addressing Richard, he announced that he had a dream about him, Richard and me, the night before. She said, "If either of us ever were to leave Oral's ministry to turn our backs on God, we'd be killed in a plane crash." Yikes. That was his total message, except to say he loved us both and that we should have a wonderful honeymoon. I don't think so. I mean, I think it would be kind of hard to have a wonderful honeymoon when you're getting ready to get on a plane and somebody says something like that. It says here, "For many years, Mrs. Roberts said, I accepted it as a fact that if I ever left the Roberts ministry, God would kill me." Brother. Well, there used to be, I don't know, there might be some churches that do this today, but there used to be quite a few churches that would tell you, remember back in the day when the shepherding movement was big and you had to obey your pastor or else there was consequences, and they were telling you that you had to submit to authority no matter what, and your pastor wanted to know what you ate for dinner and what kind of car you were buying and what kind of house you were buying, and they were going to counsel you on everything. And so but it sounds like that. It's like the shepherding movement. You don't have any freedom to think for yourself. And back in that day, I think it was mainly in the early 80s when a lot of the churches were preaching that message. It was from Bob Mumford and I think Derek Prince, and there were some of them that they had this teaching, the shepherding discipleship movement. And basically, it was very cult-like. You had a cult leader, and that was the pastor. And you had to do everything he told you to do, or else you were rebellious, you were branded, and that's not what God wants us to do. We should question things. If you stop questioning things, then you basically become a zombie-like creature, and you can't think for yourself, and that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to renew our mind and to keep our mind steady and steadfast on the Word of God. And if anybody tells you anything contrary to the Word of God, we're not supposed to accept it. So thank God a lot of that stuff finally got exposed. And for the most part, because there were so many people that were upset about that teaching, that they were writing books. And back in that day, in the 80s, early 80s, in the late 80s, you didn't have the internet. You didn't have this kind of thing, but people would self-publish books. And I remember I got a hold of a couple of these books exposing the shepherding movement, because I was in a church where I didn't stay there long, thank God, but I went to this church for a while and I enjoyed being with the saints there, and we had some good times. But the pastor and his wife were into this shepherding thing, and I was trying to do something on my own at one point where I was going to hold a meeting. I was renting a hall there in town, and I was bringing in an evangelist, and we were going to have a gospel meeting, and they didn't like it. You know, they didn't like it. They asked me how come I didn't get their permission to do that. Well, I didn't know that I needed their permission really to preach the gospel. I didn't know I had to ask them. And so then they started getting very weird, strange, and they were giving me, one time the pastor's wife, she hands me this book, and on the cover of the book, there's a puppet on a string. And it's a book by Bob Mumford. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't really want that book. I didn't take it. I first of all, I didn't like that whole thing, that picture of a puppet on a string. So I wound up leaving that church. And then the people from the church, they started calling me and trying to get me to come back. And they didn't understand. I told them, well, thank God, God sent somebody from another part of Florida to visit me. And they brought me this book that someone had self-published. And it was an expose on the shepherding movement. So I read the book and then I checked it out with the Word of God. And I said, oh, brother, that's what this is. That's what this church is where I'm at. And then I was trying to tell other people about what was going on. And of course, they didn't want to believe me. But nowadays, anybody can take what I say or what anybody else says, and you can go and do cross references on the internet. You don't have to go to the library anymore and check out books and go through all that. It's all available really at our fingertips. So, but back then it was harder to get information, and it was even harder to get people to believe the truth about that whole shepherding discipleship movement. So anyway, after I did get out of that church and the pastor, they came to my house, they were begging me to come back and whatever. I said, no, I'm not going back, because I had only been saved a few years, but I knew I was saved and I knew I was free. And I wasn't going back into bondage. No, I knew. I knew what bondage was. Yeah, I knew what it was like not to be saved. And I knew what it was like to be saved. I was 31 years old when I got saved. So I knew the difference. I said, no, I'm not going back into bondage, because not being saved and living in the world, that was bondage beyond belief. And I certainly wasn't going to be a Christian and be in bondage, submitting myself to somebody that appeared to me like they were some kind of a cult leader. And I had no freedom to make any of my own choices. I had to get permission. I don't think so. You know, I don't think so. So anyway, but that's kind of the thing that Patty Roberts talked about in her interviews and in her book that she writes, Ashes to Gold. So kind of the same thing with the Oral Roberts ministry. But you see, a lot of these people, and I'm going to play a few audios that I got today that were done by Richard recently, and you can hear the manipulation. Even in one audio, he tells people that, look, I'm sending you a letter. And he's doing these anointing oil services, which I guess they're proving very profitable because he's doing them over and over again. And what he does, and the basic premise of doing these services is to send out mail. And when they send out mail, they get you on their mailing list and then they bombard you with mail. I'm going to actually start signing up for some of these mailing lists, and I'm going to start getting some of this mail myself just to see what they're sending. But his thing is to get you to write in for this anointing oil, and they put it in a little package, and of course Richard prays over it, you know, so it's coming from Richard Roberts, and he wants you to think his prayers are more important to God than yours. And so he packages up this oil and then he sends it to you. And of course, you have to call in to ask for it. So when you call in, they get your name and your address and your phone number. And that's why they want you to write in for the oil. Not because Richard wants to give you a gift. It's because Richard wants a gift. That's why. That's why. And so they get you to call in for the oil. And then you get the oil and you're all excited because Richard and Lindsay prayed. They laid hands on this oil and they tell you to take the oil out of the envelope and they tell you to lay your hand on the oil and then to send the oil pack back to them with your prayer request because they're going to pray for you. And so then you send it back And then they pray, they say, I don't believe it. I have a hard time believing it, because they say that they take all these thousands of packs of oil, and it's a little pack, and that they open up every single one of those packs and they pour the oil back into this big vat. And you'll see them on television. They're standing there over a vat that's filled with the oil they say that the people sent back. And then they're going to dip their hands, and Richard dips his hands in the oil vat, and they pray over this oil. And then he says, which I find hard to believe, he says that they package it all back up, and then they send it back to you. And so this is miracle oil. This oil, they say, well, it's not the oil, they say, but it's the fact that you will release your faith. When you get this oil, then the sky's the limit. You can believe God for anything. Well, trust me. They're not interested in your prayer requests. And I would love to know what's happening to all those prayer requests, actually. But they want your address, so they can put you on their mailing list, and so then they can solicit donations. And even in some of these programs that they've done in the past with this anointing oil service that he has, is they tell you that you need to tuck in a little seed faith gift with that after. And maybe in the letter, which like I said, in the future, I'm going to sign up for some of these mailings, and I'll tell you what he puts in the letters, because he claims, and I'll play the audio for you in a few minutes, he claims that when you get his letter, and you have to get the letter, he says, because, and the reason you have to get the letter, the truth of the matter, is not because Richard has a special word for you in the letter, it's because he wants your address. But, and that's why he tells you. And that's part of the manipulation and the hypnotism and the whole power of suggestion that they use. He tells you that you have to write in for this letter in order to get this special message, that you can't get it any other way, he says. Yeah, well, maybe that has something to do with why Richard was basically kicked out of Tulsa. And he lost the ministry that his father built. He lost the president's mansion that he lived in. And it was humiliating. It was humiliating. Larry King, when Larry King was the king of the talk show hosts, and he was a good host. Yeah, he was. He even had Richard and Lindsay on his show talking about it. You can see the interview on YouTube. It's there. And he had them on talking about how there was this scandal brewing, and it was humiliating. Everybody knew about it. So it made Richard and Lindsay didn't back away from going on Larry King to talk about it, but the Bible says that your name is important, that it's important for you to have a good name. But he didn't mind going on there and talking about him being booted out as president. And then there was a whole other scandal of his wife calling young men late at night and having these young men come over to the house. It was reported in the newspapers. It was also reported, I don't know what she was doing, because I wasn't there. I don't have any evidence one way or the other, so I'm not going to say the accusations were true or false, because anybody could say anything. You have to have evidence. It was only that it was reported in some lawsuits that were later filed by some of the Oral Roberts professors that were at the university. They filed lawsuits because some of them were wrongfully terminated because they took a stand against what was happening. In fact, one of the staff members there at ORU, in one of the audio clips that I'll play for you, he says that there was a lot of intimidation there. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of intimidation, and they even thought worried about their offices being bugged. Were they able to talk about things? Because he said there was a lot of paranoia there. And so why? Why would anybody want to bug anybody's offices in a ministry? Why are these people so paranoid? And I even heard this about some other ministries that people have worked with. For instance, Jimmy Swaggart's ministry. There was a lady that worked there, and she said that they used to think that too, that their offices were bugged, their telephones were bugged. And why are these people so paranoid? You're only paranoid like that if you know you're doing something wrong. And so what are you trying to cover up? But anyway, he claims that there was a whole feeling of paranoia there, especially when it concerned the Roberts family. But I'm going to play some of these audios for you so you can hear for yourself. I'm going to play the one where Richard talks about the letter he's going to send you. He's going to send you a letter. And you have to write in for this letter, because you can't get it any other way except if you ask for it. And that's why I say, why? Why do you have to ask for it? Why? Because Richard wants your address. That's why. Richard wants to write you a letter. He wants to write you a letter. And he needs your address so then he can continue to send you more letters with more words from the Lord. And for some reason, people get really excited if they get a letter from Richard Roberts.
Job in every area of your, if you're married, in your family, in your marriage, in every area of your life, from the crown of your head even unto the soles of your feet. And I use these two words without sparing them. Be healed. And I believe that in Jesus' name. Now, I'd like to hear from you this week. Share your prayer request with me. If you got my letter last couple of days, answer it. There's something very special and exclusive in that letter, which you can only get if you get the letter. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You have to get the letter to find out what it is. Something very special in the letter, but only in the letter. Thank you so much for your generous gifts and your donations this month into this healing ministry. Remember to order my brand new book, Your Road to a Better Life. Do you want a better life? And who doesn't? I'll show you the principles to get the brand new life God wants you to have. I think this is the best book I've ever written in my life, and I've written lots of books. So here it is. You can order today. Go online, oralroberts.com. Write me, Richard Roberts. Call the Abundant Life Prayer Group, 918-495-7777. Remember, each Wednesday I'm on Facebook Live early in the morning. Each Thursday, Lindsay's live on Facebook. All the information is on our website. A Saturday phone call each Saturday.
Wow. And look, he's even got a Saturday phone call. Now he wants your phone number, because not only does he have an exclusive something for you in the letter, he wants your phone number so he can call you. But of course, Richard doesn't call you. It's one of those taped phone conversations. I remember years ago, this was back sometime in the 1980s, and I don't know how Lester Sumrall got my phone number. I never gave it to him or to his ministry, but somehow he got my phone number. And I answer the phone, and this recording says to me, "This is Lester Sumrall," and blah, blah, blah. And I thought to myself, well, first of all, it's not Lester Sumrall, because it's a recording, so he's not really calling me. And it really turned me off. I got really turned off to Lester Sumrall after that, because I thought, don't tell me you're calling me. I think the first thing was, it wasn't really Lester that came on in the beginning. It was somebody else that's saying, you have a personal call from Lester Sumrall. Oh, I do? Then all of a sudden I'm getting this taped thing from Lester. So I figured, I said to myself, no, this is not Lester Sumrall. Why are they doing this to me? Anyway, I didn't like it. But here's Richard. Now, Richard, here's Richard. He says, he backs everything up with the word of God, of course.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but this word I'm holding in my left hand will not pass away. And I've got a companion for you, and that is your road to a better life. And when you get it, I strongly suggest you keep them together, because everything that I wrote in this book is backed up by this word. I would never even consider writing something or preaching something or saying something that I can't back up by the word of God, because that's how I was raised by my father. That's how I lived my life. That's how Lindsay and I live. That's how my children were raised. If I can't back it up by the word of God, I'm not going to say it, and I'm not going to do it. And so I encourage you get a copy of this book. Call today. Order your copy today. Write me, Richard Roberts, or go online, oralroberts.com. Yes, that's what I mean by God wants you to have a better life. A better life in every area of your life. Lots of people in the Bible who faced all kinds of struggles. And as they prayed and obeyed God, God set them into a position where they had a better life than they had before. And
he would never write anything or say anything that wasn't in God's word. Richard, I beg to differ with you, Richard. That whole seed faith gospel and all that little manipulating that you just did, that's not in God's word. That's not in God's word. No. And Richard, seed faith did not work for you. No, it did not work for you and your father. Your father, you had big financial problems for many years. You might still have big financial problems. I don't know. I don't really know what happened to all those hundreds of millions of dollars that the ministry took in over all those years. Yikes. Can you imagine? But apparently, if your university was $50 million in debt and they threw you out and you were driving down the road 100 miles an hour drunk, something was going on over there. So seed faith was not working. Seed faith was not working. And that should be our campaign, all of us, for 2018, as we say, seed faith ain't working. No, it didn't work for the second king of the seed faith gospel, Oral Roberts and his son, his sidekick there, Richard. It didn't work for them. And as many years and as many television programs and as many gospel preaching escapades that they did saying that it would work for you, it didn't work for them. And that's the truth. He was booted out of his university, and it was bought by the Green family, who owns the Hobby Lobby businesses. They claim to be billionaires. I don't know. But anyway, they bought it. Basically, and they somehow paid off the debts, but the Oral Roberts Ministry, they still call it Oral Roberts University. Whether or not they'll ever get rid of his name, probably they will eventually. Or if there's something written into the whole deal where they can't. Because even Richard, he doesn't have a website, Richard Roberts. He has oralroberts.com, and that's his ministry. So the Green family, also, they have this television network, and it's called Golden Eagle Broadcasting, GEB. And I know I get it on my satellite network. And it's mostly like pimping. And it really upsets me because they broadcast a lot of these services from Oral Roberts University, and it's these college kids. And, of course, you know, young people, they're full of vitality and fun and things like that. They're interested in life and hungry, a lot of them hungry for God's word. And they actually have these services there for the young people. And they sing and whatever, they sing and they dance. And then they bring in these gospel pimp preachers to these young people and teach them this seed faith gospel, which is very disturbing. You would think that the Green family, after all, they're rich enough. They're supposed to be billionaires. Why do they have to do that to the students that they're teaching? And supposedly they're training up young champions for Christ over there. Well, you're not training up young champions for Christ when you teach them the art of extortion. You certainly aren't training up young champions for Christ over there. I don't understand it. I really don't. Because they got rid of one huckster over there, Richard Roberts, and then Oral passed away. They managed to run them out of town, only to be taken over by someone else that preaches this ridiculous heresy to these college students. I think if people are going to have universities and Bible colleges, at least teach young people especially how to trust God for what they need and not go looking to manipulate people and take advantage of other people to get what they need. Trust God. That should be what we should be teaching our children. We should be teaching in Bible colleges and universities that are called Christian. We should teach them the Bible principle of love thy neighbor as thyself. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's what Christian giving is all about. So it's quite upsetting because they have a big thousands of young people there at ORU going there and hoping to learn and to embark on their futures. And I just think it's a sad state of affairs when they can't even teach these young people what the truth is about God's word. Of course, they are responsible themselves for learning God's word. But also when you're young and you're in that environment, there's a lot of peer pressure on these young people. So it's very, very hard. It would be very hard for somebody, say like myself, if I was a student there and I had the beliefs that I have and I was vocal about it, there would be so much peer pressure to get you to conform to the norm. But that shouldn't affect us one way or the other. And I think a lot of us have to get out of that whole thing of trying to succumb to any kind of peer pressure, no matter who it is that's trying to put it on us, that there are so many wolves out there and there's so many false teachings. And we have to take a stand for the truth. We're going to need the truth. We're going to need everything that we can possibly get from God in the days that are ahead, because the days are evil. The days are evil. You can see, and I'm not saying that, you know, for instance, somebody like President Trump, he's a man full of complexities, and I'm sure he does things that aren't quite right. But to hear some of the news commentators and the propaganda and the fake news. And it is fake news. Take, for instance, Charisma Magazine, full of fake news. And if you want to read real news, check out our sister Jackie Alnor has a new Christian newspaper, news magazine called The Christian Sentinel. And that's on the internet. And that's real news. That's real Christian news. So we also have the fake news of Charisma Magazine. But they report on some things accurately, but most of it is a bunch of foolishness. And but you have the world today. They can take one thing, for instance, my personal feeling is that there was no collusion with Russia to overturn the election of people, whoever was elected in the United States, blah, blah, blah. But yet they've managed to make a whole investigation and spend millions of dollars on news coverage of something that isn't even real. So we see the days that we're living in is who knows what we're going to have to go through as Christians. I shudder I shudder to think about it, really, is what we're going to have to go through. Maybe persecution, terrible persecution, or being falsely accused of things that we didn't do. And that's why I try to be careful what I accuse people of. I try to back it up with evidence, because anybody could say anything about you. They could say anything. And we should always make sure that there's evidence to back up anybody's accusations. So I would say, when we look at the things that are going on in the news today, and the false accusations and the fake news stories and the unending commentary with no basis in fact, that will eventually be what happens to some of us, is that you'll be hauled off and accused of something that you didn't do, and there's no evidence that you did anything except that somebody said you did something. Well, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. And then to indict people to some of the things that have been done, where they've gone after people and they've gone into their homes and got them out of bed, and the intimidation, it's really, really awful. But I think, too, when there's big money involved and there's power involved, and that's the way it is with a lot of these ministries today, there's big money involved and there's a lot of power involved. There's power struggles and there's struggles for fame and recognition. And so they don't want people to talk about them, but the Bible says to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. The Bible says to rebuke. The Bible says that a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. All those things are there in the Bible. But what do we hear so much of when you try to make a statement about something that's true? We hear, oh, don't judge. Well, yeah, I better judge right from wrong. I better judge right from wrong. I have every right to. I have every right to. And then people say, well, you can't judge their heart. Well, in some instances, you can't judge their heart. But a lot of times, like the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So there's a lot of things that people say and do. So then you can judge what's coming out of the heart, because you can hear what's coming out of their mouth. So anyway, we have to be ready to defend ourselves with the word of God for whatever is going to be coming our way. But you can kind of see the handwriting on the wall when a lot of things happen first in the world, and also in a lot of the European countries where they're taking away rights of Christians to speak out against homosexuality, especially. And I saw on a news report today that they're supposed to be bringing back this program with Roseanne Barr, her program, Roseanne, and they're actually going to have a 9-year-old character who cross-dresses. What kind of a thing is that to present to children? Oh, we live in a crazy world, really. We live in a crazy world, so just expect it to get crazier. Anyway, here's Richard and Lindsay talking about, you know, sending in, and this is recently, this was just this past week, you better send in and get your oil.
Is the place for me. Hi, welcome to our program today. Just 1 week from today,
one week,
our blended oil prayer service. What do you mean, blended oil? Well, we've sent out these yellow envelopes, these letters, with an explanation from the Bible about how to use anointing oil according to the Word of God. And we put this little packet of oil in it, and asked our friends and partners who received it to pray over it, not to open it, but to pray over it, and then send it back so that next week, a week from today, we can take all of the oil the people have sent back, blend it together in a container, and I can put my hands in it and pray over it, and then package it back up and send it back out to be used in the Bible way as a point of contact. Now, Lindsay, I got this from Audrey down in South Florida.
I've been calling for prayer through the Abundant Life prayer group, and I received the oil that you sent. I was told I had to have a mammogram done, and there was a spot that was found, and I needed to have a compression mammogram done. I made the appointment to have it done, and each night I would take that oil that you and Lindsay sent, and I would anoint myself with oil. And I went back, and I didn't have the worries. I just believed God I would not be found with breast cancer. And I received my results, and the results are normal, benign, no evidence of cancer. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lindsay, Lord.
It wasn't the oil. The oil just helped her focus her faith on a miracle.
This is cute because this goes right along with that. And this woman made such a good explanation of it. She said, she named the date in January. She slipped and fell on a patch of ice on her patio. She said, I sprained my right wrist as I fell on it. And then on Sunday night, my wrist started to swell. Then on Monday, I noticed, she said, her whole hand and fingers were swollen. She said, I couldn't move my wrist or fingers because there was so much swelling. Then on Monday night, she said, I woke up because there was so much pain. But then she remembered the anointing oil. She said, I used the anointing oil that you sent me. I rubbed it on my fingers and my wrist, and I made a cross over it. And I lifted my hands in the air, and I prayed this. I said, Jesus, I believe you are touching my hands and fingers. I believe you are healing my hand. A few seconds later, I realized I was moving my fingers and my wrist. I was healed by Tuesday morning, and I thank God for my miracle. And then she said, thank you for sending the anointing oil, and I can say I got my miracle.
Praise God.
Isn't that cute? Very detailed. She didn't look to the oil. She didn't look to who sent the oil. She simply said this. She said, I said, Jesus, I believe you're touching my hands and fingers. I believe you're healing my hands.
Well, that's what I'm expecting to happen in many people's lives. And we have many prayer requests that have already arrived. People have been sending their oil in. If you've not yet sent yours in, you just have a week. Just a week. And you might want to get your prayer request here for the service a week from today. As a matter of fact, here's a special word about it right now. Just watch this.
Anointing oil is a biblical point of contact for the releasing of your faith for healing in every area of your life. Are you sick? Do you need a miracle? Then Richard and Lindsay want to send you a special letter of encouragement and a packet of anointing oil. Just call this toll-free number today to receive your letter and packet of oil. When your letter arrives, write your specific needs on the prayer sheet. Hold the oil packet in your hands and pray in faith, believing for the miracles you need. Then return your oil packet and prayer sheet as soon as you can. Your oil will be blended with the oil Richard has prayed over, as well as the oil received from praying partners and friends from around the world. The blending of the oil symbolizes all of us coming into agreement, praying for one another. Then we'll send you a vial of this blended oil for your personal use. Be sure to watch the special Prayer Day show on The Place for Miracles coming soon. Here are just a few testimonies from those who have experienced life-changing miracles.
I got a vial of anointing oil from you all and put it on the outside of my right ear. 3 seconds later, the pain left and the awful pressure left and the vertigo left too.
Wow.
It's completely gone, Stephen?
Yes.
And I remember when I left home that I had got this letter from the Oral Roberts Ministry. And when I opened it to read it, this oil fell out. And I took the oil and I began to rub the oil on my daughter's head and her hands and arms. And every day I went to see my daughter, she was responding to everything the doctors and them was looking for her to respond to. And now my daughter, these guys, she can run, she can walk.
Oh dear. Oh, honest. I don't know how they keep a straight face, you know? I don't know how they keep a straight face, but that's the latest gimmick that Richard is using. But he uses it quite a bit lately because it's working. Oh yeah, he gets you to call in for the oil, so then they have to send it to you, so then they get your address and then you send it back. And then they'll continue to solicit donations from you. But they're the masters of marketing and using the appeal letters. There was a group. It might have been in Tulsa at one time, but there was a group that people would hire. A lot of the famous TV preachers, Marilyn Hickey, Robert Tilton, Rod Parsley, and Oral Roberts and Richard Roberts, as you could see, probably uses this group and their masters at the appeal letter. And so then they have all these gimmicks that they send where, yes, he's going to send you a packet of oil. Like he expects you to believe that they open up all these, they're paying somebody to sit there and open up these little packets and dump them back into a vat, and then they're going to package them all up again. It's ridiculous. Please. What does he have? An oil factory, an oil packaging factory there? Oh, it's beyond belief. Anyway, so, and then he wants you to believe that they take all the packets and open them up, and then they stick their hands in this oil and they pray and they'll send it back to you. And you notice Lindsay says, no, they're not saying it's the oil or the person who sent it to them. Well, they know that most people, they think, well, that's why most of these healing evangelists have been so successful in the past, because they were able to go and hold these big crusades. And you thought, wow, if Benny Hinn lays hands on me, people would rush up because Benny Hinn had some kind of a special anointing. When Jesus is the healer, anybody could ask, I don't need Benny Hinn to pray for me. I think it's wonderful that the saints pray for me. I need the saints to pray for me. Believe me, I do. But I don't think that anybody's prayers have more power than my own prayers. What? God doesn't love me. He passes over me. And then I have to go to Benny to get Benny to pray for me to get healed. Or I have to go to Oral Roberts for God to hear the prayer of what I need. But yet they want you to think, and they promote this whole idea of, oh, yeah, Lindsay tells you it's not who's sending the oil. But of course it's who's sending the oil. Because why would they care? And why would Richard make a big deal out of the fact that he's laying hands on these packets, him and Lindsay, and Richard Roberts, sticks his hands in the oil, and he's sending it back to you? Otherwise, why would you care who it was? Most people aren't even going to bother if it's somebody that they don't know, Joe Smith down the street or whatever. You think that they're going to send him thousands of packets of oil back to Joe's house to get Joe to pray for them for healing? No, they want Richard Roberts to do it, because Richard Roberts, they think, has a healing ministry. Well, it's okay for people to go and pray for other people. There's nothing wrong with that. But to think that it's them that has the power, it's them, and it's in their hands, and it's not in anybody else. It's not in my hand. I can't smack my own hand on my head and pray for myself. Yeah, I can, and so can you. They don't have any special power in their hands, or anybody that's been sick, has had any kind of a sickness, you realize yourself that you have no power within yourself to make yourself better. If God doesn't make you better, and if God doesn't intervene, then there's no hope. No, there's no hope. Miracles come from God. Healing comes from God. It doesn't come from anybody else. And anybody that would try to make you believe that it could possibly come from them and it could possibly come from their hands, well, they're a liar, because it doesn't. It doesn't. Any of us that have been through any kind of a trial in our life, we know beyond a doubt that if God doesn't rescue us and if God doesn't help us, then we're not getting any help. We're not going to get the help that we need. Of course, our brothers and sisters in Christ can help us along the way, and they do. Thank God for the saints. Thank God for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But ultimately, what we need comes from God, and from God alone. He can defeat our enemies, and he's promised to do it. He's promised to defeat us, defeat our enemies, and to deliver us from all evil. That's a promise. But Christians are going to go through things. We're going to go through things, and we're going to wonder sometimes, why are we going through it? I don't have all the answers. I wish I did. I don't have all the answers either, but we're going to go through stuff. And it's going to be God that gets us through. Anyway, here's a little news report from a few back 9 or 10 years ago about the ORU takeover.
John Swales was not present at the closed-door meeting. He has spoken with those who were, and he is now speaking out in support of his former colleagues. The meeting included a surprise visit by school president Richard Roberts.
Yeah, I didn't like it. And neither did any of the faculty who talked to me. They all felt really put upon.
Put upon, because according to those inside the meeting, Oral Roberts tried to get tenured faculty to change its vote of no confidence in his son. The move by the senior Roberts was done with his son in the same room.
It's clear from the reports that we've received that the meeting last night was an attempt by Oral and Richard to get them to rescind that vote.
Richard Roberts told faculty members in the meeting he wanted a second chance, and that stepping down now amounted to admitting guilt. On Monday, ORU's tenured faculty passed a resolution saying, among other things, they had no confidence in the leadership of Richard Roberts. Despite pleas from both Roberts last night, the faculty stood firm.
Not only did they not rescind it, they reaffirmed the vote in the direct presence of the two principals. So it seemed to me to be not only moral courage, but this time actual physical courage involved.
Last night's meeting took place inside one of ORU's television studios.
But they were all locked down, we know, because someone went and checked. And the only entrance that was open had a security cubicle right next to it, so they were there for a purpose.
Is this kind of in the norm at ORU?
Well, let's get back to the fear and intimidation. Oh, absolutely. And it's still there, that climate of fear and intimidation. And, oh, we used to joke about it, you know, that our offices were bugged and, you know, we'd raise our voice, make sure the mic picked us up.
I command Satan to take his hands off of you, and I pray for your healing to begin tonight.
Now, last night's appearance by Richard Roberts comes almost a month after he released a statement saying he was temporarily stepping aside as university president and would be spending more time focusing on his family. Swale says many of the tenured faculty members who were there last night believe if Roberts returns as school president, their jobs would be in jeopardy.
They all are expecting if these people come back in, there will be a general house cleaning or there will be moves behind the scenes to clean these people out.
Meanwhile, an ORU spokesperson has declined to comment on last night's meeting. In Tulsa, David Crow, The Oklahoma News Report.
I remember at the time that these news stories were coming out, and you can see a lot of these things if you go to YouTube. And Richard was on his television program at the time, coming when he was still the president of ORU, and he was bragging that they bought a Learjet. Now imagine, you're $50 million in debt, and he was telling people he needed this jet because he needed it to go flying around for the ministry. Well, you don't really need, most people don't really need airplanes. Airplanes are very expensive to maintain. They're very expensive to fly. A lot of these guys aren't pilots themselves. You have to hire a pilot. Oh, but of course they can't be in an airplane like with you. You know, they don't want to be in an airplane with you. So they go and they have to fly in these multi-million dollar airplanes. Eventually, really, I think he lost the airplane. He wasn't able to keep it. But that's how messed up they are, that they're running their own ministry into the ground, and yet they're still lusting after riches that they can't afford and expecting other people to pay for it. So it was a sad state of affairs over there, and I don't know what's ever going to become of Oral Roberts University. I think it's a great idea to have good Christian universities for young people where they can be trained, but it's most important that they're trained in the Word of God, in the true Word of God, what the Bible really teaches, and not in most of the universities today are raising up young people to believe in this selfish gospel instead of to believe in the true gospel. And that is very disappointing. But anyway, I hope that many of us can have an impact on the future of the church, especially to help people to understand who Jesus really is and what the gospel really says so that we can make it through the days ahead, whatever the days may bring us. And God only knows what some of us are going to have to go through. But we're going to try to press on. And it's my hope for all of us to take a strong stand for Jesus this year and to not back down from the truth that we know. Because this the small ministry that I have, and we do have thousands of listeners. We don't have hundreds of thousands of listeners or anything like that, but we have thousands of listeners. We've had millions of hits on our YouTube channel. So we have had many people come by and listen to the preaching and listen to the teaching that may not have had the opportunity to hear the things we have to say. There's other people out there. I'm not saying I'm the only one, because I'm not. There's many wonderful ministries out there that feel the same way I do about things, and many wonderful saints of God that feel the same. So that's why we have the fellowship with each other like we do. So then we can take the truth that we know, and we can, even if you tell one person, they used to say that about evangelism, and of course it's true. One-on-one evangelism is still the best type of evangelism that you can do, and all of us can do that. It doesn't take any money to do that. It only takes a mouth and a Bible. So that's the important thing for the days that are ahead, is we take the things that we've learned and we share it with other people, and then we hope and we pray that they take the truth and then they share it with other people. And so then we're always going to have that really strong remnant church that we're going to stand together as the days go by. And I think it's important also for the people that are in apologetics ministries and in discernment ministries to stick together and to form that strong bond, which we are forming. And of course, I'm here on my program, Prophetic News, on Blog Talk Radio. And then we have our sister, Jackie Alnor, who has the Rapture Ready Radio Network with many wonderful teachers there. So there's a real need for us to preach the gospel as we know it and to stay strong in the Lord, and to try to stay strong together. Amen. So anyway, that's our program for today. God bless you. I want to thank you all for listening. Here we are now. We're in 2018. Wow, how time flies. And we've been here now since 2009. August of 2009 was our first broadcast. Yikes, time flies when you're having fun, right? But yeah, we've been here for a long time, and we hope to stay here and to carry on our ministry. So please pray for us. Don't forget the book, my book also, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. And the most important thing today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? No matter what you've been through in your life, no matter what you've done, God said that he will forget your sins. Yes, he will wash you as white as snow, and he will. And you'll be surprised, because I was in my own life in 1981 when I asked Jesus into my life, and he changed my life forever. And I was born again, and those scales fell right off of my eyes, and I could see. Like Amazing Grace says, I was blind, but now I see. That was me. I was blind, but then all of a sudden I saw the truth, and I knew I found the truth, and my search was over. And you can have that same experience. Ask God to forgive you of your sins today, and ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.